Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey, welcoming you to Optimal Life. It's brought to you on the RPH Network. Now, in today's program, we're going to look at the coronavirus cash. What is best to do? And we've got some great technical help for seniors, how to get online, etc. And as we get a little older, I guess the thought of staying at home as opposed to going into care is on our mind. Well, we've got some advice there too. And do you have a clutter problem? Boy, oh boy, some of us do. Well, we've got some good advice here. First up today, it's coronavirus cash. Now, we're going to look at this in two sections. Firstly, it's the mortgage on your home. And secondly, super, what's best to do? Okay, looking at the mortgage rate first. Homeowners who decide to fix the interest rate on their home loan now can lock in some of the lowest mortgage payments in decades. Interest rates are close to the bottom of the cycle. Borrowers are unlikely to see much better than some of the rates that are on offer now. Those who've rushed to take out fixed-rate mortgages in the past have had their fingers burnt. But this time, the risks of getting caught out by falling interest rates are significantly less. During the global financial crisis in 2008, homeowners rushed to fix their rates on mortgages. This happened after the cash rate peaked at 7.75%. The Reserve Bank of Australia slashed official interest rates to 3% the following year. That left borrowers wanting to exit mortgages for lower variable interest rate. Fixed rates offer protection against rising variable rates. They are popular with property investors who want to manage cash flows. Now, the Reserve Bank has said that it will not increase official interest rates until it is confident that progress is being made. This is progress to counter soaring unemployment numbers. Of course, this is all as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. The Australian Bureau of Stats last month reported the nation's jobless rate climbed to 7.4%. It is now believed to be higher. A return to full employment, that is enough jobs for people who want or are available to work, could be some years away. And the final comment on this article says, the central bank could even cut official rates to a further 0.1%. Now that's a hell of a statement. They could cut interest rates to 0.1%. So that article said their homeowners who decide to fix the interest rate on their home loan now could possibly lock in the lowest mortgage payments in decades. So have a think about that. And in a little while, we're going to look at super, what's best there may be. As many regular listeners would know, this program has a wonderful sponsor. It's Seniors Rights. They are offering free legal and advocacy services to eligible seniors. Well, today, they're offering keyboard empowerment. It is said that knowledge is power, and the New South Wales seniors are finding that quick and simple access to expert information and advice is empowering. It helps us with independence and safeguarding our futures. Well, the Seniors' Rights Service is dedicated to protecting the rights of older people, particularly the vulnerable and the disadvantaged groups. How? As we said, they do this by providing free legal and advocacy services. Much of this help is provided over the phone. However, a new online education toolbox is helping older people navigate tricky issues. These are things such as power of attorney, elder abuse, ageism, legal problems, advocacy and issues affecting people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. There's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex people are being helped. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Now this toolbox, as they call it, has become a valuable educational resource, particularly as many community events that they would normally help have been cancelled due to the pandemic. Resources include webinars covering issues such things as things to know as you get older, granny flats, retirement villages, strata legal services, financial advice, older women's advocacy advice for aged care staff. There's resources to help you stay safe and navigate the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, it is planned to expand the resources and have them translated into languages other than English. All right, we're going to come back in a moment and tell you how to access this. The Seniors' Rights Service. Okay, it's still accessible by phoning 1-800-424-079. And the resources are available at seniorsrightsservice.org.au. And there's also, they mention, the Ageing and Disability Abuse Line. That's 1-800-628-221. Now have a pen and paper ready. I'll come back in a moment and say those numbers again. Hey, give them a call. They're wonderful people and they might help you with advocacy and legal matters. Also help online, which I think's fabulous. So it's Seniors' Rights. The phone number, 1-800-424-079. That's the main number. They'll tell you the others, but the website here, seniorsrightsservice.org.au, and the Ageing Disability and Abuse Helpline, 1-800-628-221. But that main number again for Seniors' Rights, 1-800-424-079. All right, a leading personal question. Do you have clutter problem in your life? If you do, stay listening. And I guess we could all do a little bit of this. Don't let the clutter bury you. Again, taken from the September Seniors newspaper, and it's written simply by the group Help. A new online group will offer support to hoarders. These are people who are overwhelmed by their possessions, but find it hard to discard them. All right, it's called Buried in Treasures. It will run across five New South Wales regions this month. The program offered by the Catholic Healthcare will also help people who are not able to use space in their home. They can't use it the way they want because of excessive clutter. It will consist of 15 two-hour group workshops run on a weekly basis. Now, the program focuses on skill-building lessons to change the way people think about their possessions. It gives progressive challenges to help manage clutter. Now, we're going to say a number at the end of this, so have a pen and paper ready, but it's very handy. Now, Trish completed the program earlier this year and said it had been a big help. Trish said, "I was feeling very insecure. I'd collected items and clutter in my home. The big issue was my bedroom. I had piles of linen, towels, clothing, cushions, pillows. It got so bad that I could not use my bedroom." During the course of the facilitator, they'll also offer support in the form of home visits. They'll implement skills and techniques learned in the group session. Buried in Treasure is funded under the Commonwealth Home Support Program. It will be offered in Dubbo, Bathurst, Newcastle and Sydney's southeast and inner west. Now, participants must be aged over 50. That seems to be about the only criteria. And don't worry too much if you're not in those particular areas that I just mentioned, because I'll come back in a moment with a phone number and I'm sure anybody could give them a ring. They wouldn't mind. All right, it's called Buried in Treasures, I guess very aptly named. For more information, you can go to the website, it's catholiccare.com.au, or you can go to the phone number, 1-800-225-474. Those details again, if you've got too much clutter in your home, get on to catholiccare.com.au or give them a call, 1-800-225-474. Good luck with all that. I know clutter can be a problem. However, don't go to the other extreme and become like me, the absolute chucker outer. Ever think that you're not having much fun in your life? Well, think again. Here's a wonderful story. George, you are the coolest. Most people would be content with a birthday cake and candles for their 90th. Not George Coughlin of Bomaderry. He marked the occasion by jumping out of an aeroplane above Wollongong. Securely strapped to his tandem instructor for 1 minute free fall at 200 kilometres an hour, George gave the thumbs up. They said, "Roll the camera." Then the pair glided to the ground for the next 6 minutes. They enjoyed great views over the city and the beaches. George said, "It was the coldest I've ever been in my life. It was freezing on the free fall, but I wasn't worried about falling. All I said to myself was, 'For God's sake, turn the heating on.' But when he pulled the cord and the chute opened, it was like hitting a rock wall." The instructor had told me that it would be a tough part, and it was. It just went bang, but it was all worth it. So, what inspired George to take the plunge? He said, "I saw a photo of an old lady. She was in her 80s and she did it. And they had a photo in the paper, and I've never seen a woman look so happy. She was having a ball. So I thought, bugger it. I can't walk too far and I can't do too much. Why not give it a go?" I did it just for the sights. The sights were fantastic. Well, there you are, looking for something to do in those later years. George went parachute jumping at 90. Seniors ask for help to stay at home. And look, this involves us all, I think, as we age a little. This article says seniors ask for help to stay at home. It's written by David Crowe. He's a chief political correspondent. The Morrison government is being urged to release more funding to allow old Australians to receive help to stay at home. This is so they can delay any move into aged care facilities, particularly as the coronavirus grows. The peak group for older Australians, National Seniors, blamed political leaders for ignoring years of warnings about aged care. They have left the sector at greater risk from the pandemic. The National Seniors' chief advocate, Ian Henschke, said the aged care had to be taken beyond politics. This is after failures by both Labor and the coalition governments. They have failed to repair the system, both of them, he said. He added, successive governments have sadly ignored the numerous reports and inquiries which recommended reform. Mr. Henschke was responding to the criticism of the federal government by former coalition minister Concietta Ferravanti-Wells. She blamed a revolving door of ministers for failing to help the sector. She said, "We've seen the fatal consequences of COVID in institutional aged care. Now we need to re-emphasise and find more ways for people to have adequate home care. Institutional care should be seen as a last resort. We are calling on the government to dramatically lower the rate of pension loan schemes so people can have the option to pay for private care. This is to top up their home care packages." Now there's an interesting footnote to this article. It says Australia ranks ahead of Switzerland, New Zealand, and the Netherlands and Sweden in the top five countries in the world with the highest proportion of people in long-term aged care. And that's according to figures from the OECD. Now that's a very interesting article. They're calling for more help for aged care. It's for people to stay at home rather than go into institutional cares. So hopefully something will happen there and we can bring you some good or better news in the future. Well, we're going to go back to the subject of money now. The best super strategy, what is it? This is taken from the Sydney Morning Herald on Wednesday, August the 26th in their money section. It says the best strategy for super may be leave it alone. The current COVID-19-induced economic crisis and its impact on financial markets has many super fund members worried. They're worried about their future retirement. Their nest eggs are under attack from unprecedented economic and share market volatility. This is as the coronavirus recession begins to bite. Worse still, we do not know when or where future significant economic downturns will happen. The big question remains, how can we avoid the worst of it with regard to our retirement incomes? It is important to remember that your super is a long-term asset, and history shows that a most effective way to achieve retirement objectives is to leave it alone and let it accumulate. The Australian Bureau of Statistics data shows that super is the fastest growing part of household assets. It currently represents almost 24% of the total. Add this to other financial market assets, most notably savings, deposits and direct equities investments, total exposure to market has grown to 43%. That is 43% of the total household wealth. There is little doubt that these assets will grow to rival the family home as the household sector's largest exposure in coming years. The direct consequences of this will be market volatility will have a bigger impact on overall household wealth. Households will be exposed to the global market fluctuations like never before. Here, it is worth remembering the old adage and truism that it is time in the market, not timing the market. Long-term investment is the hallmark of most super funds. Despite recent volatility, they will continue to do so. It's no secret that super's key strength in building acceptable retirement incomes is the power of compounding. That is, reinvesting returns year after year. What gives compounding its strength is time. This is why allowing people to withdraw super during the COVID crisis is also potentially destructive. It is setting more than 3 million super fund members back in terms of their potential retirement savings. This is most particular among young people and other low-income earners who are least likely to afford it. While there's little doubt that the helping those in genuine financial need is now a valid point, it is hard to argue that early withdrawal makes little sense. That is, little financial sense. The government can borrow at interest rates of just 0.8% a year. It makes more financial sense for it to do so and provide a broader hardship payment for a safety net. This is rather than risk those who can least afford it. In the vast majority of cases, once a person decides their investment risk appetite, super should be largely set and forget asset. Bit of a somewhat technical item there, but basically they're saying with your super, set and forget, leave it alone. And once again, that is only advice, and I think it certainly pays to check your super all the time. You might be able to do better. And that was just a broad statement from us, so please treat it in that way. We're going to look now at the subject of my aged care, changing providers. Okay, not happy with your provider, you can change. And here's a somewhat simple, brief guide to help with that. Okay, before making a change, you should check your HCP agreement. Check if there are any special conditions, things like notice periods and exit amounts. Secondly, you can search for alternative providers by using My Aged Care website, Service Finder. Or you can speak to My Aged Care. Now, I'll give the number at the end of this little item. Speak to them, they'll give you assistance. Compare the services and fees provided with those of your current provider, including administration and case management. Your current service providers are obliged to assist you to change providers and must mutually agree to a date that you want your care services to end. And the fourth item is, when you have agreed to an end date with your current provider, contact My Aged Care and reactivate your referral code. You have 56 days from the end date to enter into a home care agreement with a new provider. If you do not enter into a home care package agreement by this time, your home care package will be withdrawn and you will not be able to use your referral code. Now, that item came from the Seniors New South Wales publication, and they add, any general advice in this story does not take into account personal objectives and financial situations and needs. So there you are. We have spoken about this before at some length, but if you're not happy with your provider, you can change. The provider's got to help you, and My Aged Care will certainly help you. Okay, we're going to look at the very wide subject now, scamming. And it has the very hard-hitting topic, broken hearts and drained accounts. It's taken from the August edition of the Senior Newspaper. Romance and dating scams are arguably among the most damaging cons. Not only is the victim swindled of their hard-earned cash, but they're also left nursing a broken heart. Last year alone, $83 million was reported lost to these types of scams alone. The scammers' tactics often unfold over a period of time. During this time, they trick you into revealing a lot of your personal information. It typically starts with a stranger striking up a conversation with you online, whether it be on a dating platform, such as media event, or simply an online game. If you approach online by strangers, always consider that if you have not met the person, you cannot be certain who you're talking to. Now, for more information or report a scam, you go to scamwatch.gov.au. Now, that information again, go to simply scamwatch.gov.au. Okay, we're going to look now at protecting yourself from common cons. Scams come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. They range from phishing scams, that's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. They range from phishing scams designed to steal your information to people impersonating authorities and demanding money that they claim is owed by you. And here are some of the ways that you can protect yourself. Now, there's three. We've got stop and think, do not open or click, and find and verify. The first one, stop and think. Be wary of offers that seem too good to be true. They normally are. Scams often try to create a sense of urgency. Do not rush and consider first whether it's real or not. Secondly, do not open or click. Do not open attachments or click on links in unexpected texts, social media or messages. Things like pop-up windows, emails, even if it appears to come from a trusted source. And finally, find and verify. If you're unsure, contact the person, business or agency using contact details that you've found independently. For example, go to the phone book or paste a bill online or search it. If you think you've been scammed, call the police immediately and your bank as well. Scammers steal your identity. This is interesting. It said it started with a phone call from someone claiming to be from NAB Security Department in Victoria. That's the National Australia Bank. They were warning their target about possible fraudulent transactions that urgently needed to be dealt with. Before long, the caller had stolen almost $8,000 in an identity theft scam. 55-year-old Victorian, who wished to remain anonymous, said, "After extensive questioning on my side to ensure the caller would be genuine, I gave in and provided very limited information that he needed on my behalf. Several text messages were sent to my mobile number from the genuine NAB to provide security codes. But these had actually been requested by the scammer so that he could access my account. The scammer used this access to change details. It included the credit card limit. I did not even know. I was not aware it was happening. By the time I realized this, $7,780 had been stolen." And the note here says, "This is not an isolated incident. Last year, Australians lost $15.8 million, nearly $16 million in identity theft scams." Although the Australian Competition and Consumers Commission, the ACCC, believes the figure's probably conservative. It says because it's very likely underreported. ACCC Deputy Chair Delia Rickard said personal information is invaluable, Unfortunately, the loss of personal information is a serious consequence of most scams. Often people do not understand how important and valuable their information really is, she repeats. Scammers are no longer just after your money. They want information about you. That's where they can score more financial gain. Ms. Rickard said scammers get personal, identifiable information by phishing. That's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. They do it by phishing scams. Now, this is where scammers try to gain as much information as they can from you by asking a lot of questions. She goes on to say, if scammer contacts you by phone, they may ask a lot of questions, like your date of birth, who lives at your house, perhaps even about your superannuation scheme. All this information can be used to comment and identity crimes. The key thing is to remember, if someone has contacted you asking for information, do not give it to them. And finally, she says, instead, check whether this is real by contacting the individual or the business concerned. There you are, terribly important subject, scamming. Well, that's about all we have time for in the program today. I hope you've enjoyed it. Dave Jeffrey saying thanks for being with me, and I look forward to your company again soon. Bye now.